Recapping the weekend in sports and previewing the week ahead. This is FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night with Dalton Orwig and Corey LaBounty.
Bob, you'll get a real sense of the hatred that makes football so great.
I've got the fever, gambling fever.
What we're dealing with here is a complete lack of respect for the law.
You're listening to Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5.
And we're live, FM Talk 106.5, Sports Night on this Monday night, now following the Paul Feinbaum Show, which, well, you know, it ends at 6 every day. That means we're on at 6 o'clock every Monday, not every day. And it's great to be here because we are now, 5 days away from the first games of the college football season, also 4 days away from the first games of the high school football season, and just about 2.5 weeks away from the first official NFL regular season games. That means that we made it, Corey LaBounty.
It gets even better, Dalton. Some are kicking off Thursday. You have FAMU and UCF, Georgia Tech, Clemson, Texas State, Texas A&M, and Utah and BYU to whet that appetite this 29th
you
of
mean
August.
We get Utah and BYU on Thursday night?
No question about it.
I love it.
It's just pigskin at its best. College football is definitely here. High school football is here, and it doesn't get any better than this time of year.
Hey, I'm looking to see which of those games on Thursday night. Of course, we know that on Saturday, and easily the most intriguing game of this entire week, will be those Miami Hurricanes taking on the now number 8-ranked Florida Gators in Orlando. They'll kick off at 6 o'clock on Saturday. So Florida isn't even the first SEC team that kicks off, because you have Texas A&M playing that Thursday night, like you mentioned. But that should be an easy win, Texas State against Texas A&M. But as far as which game is most intriguing, I'm looking at that BYU-Utah game. That ought to be fun, because now, even when both teams aren't at their best, those are always good rivalry games. We also get the number 1-ranked Clemson Tigers taking on Georgia Tech. Shouldn't be too much of a battle for Clemson with how Georgia Tech is looking this year. And moving away from the triple option, that will be interesting. Thursday night will be our first chance to get a look at Georgia Tech, the Ramblin' Tech, for the first time without that triple option. So that'll be really cool to watch. Also, UCF kicking off against Florida A&M. So you're right. All kinds of great games to check out on Thursday night. But I'm all about that Saturday action and Florida taking on Miami. We'll get a good look at both of those teams. We'll see if the Florida Gators will have the talent to contend at the top of the SEC this year. We'll also get a good look at Miami, and I think that'll let us know whether they will be able to contend with Clemson, which is really the only team in the ACC you need to worry about if you're not Clemson. Even Clemson, I'd say the only team they need to worry about this year are the Clemson Tigers.
You know, Dalton, what I'm going to love each and every week is having an opportunity to go to the college pick'em. And I know you and I have talked about that, and we like to battle each other. You're going with a little different format this year, so I know you want to share with everybody how they can join us and encourage their friends and family to join in on competition as well.
Yeah, because we had so much fun last year in the inaugural FM Talk 106.5 College Pick'em Challenge. We had as many hosts as we could get involved in the pick'em. I know Sean Sullivan played a little bit. You might know Sean if you listen to the morning show and the midday show. He was Tukey Toussaint, because that was when the Braves pitcher kind of came on the scene last year. We both loved Tukey's name, so Sean took that. And there were some great names last year in the college pick'em. I'm already seeing some of the names that are signing up this year. We have our first No Toll, somebody with the username No Toll. So that's always fun on Mondays after the week, after the weekend games, to go back and see who had the best week of pick'em, and who at the end of the year you get a nice little trophy. And we've been tossing around the idea of maybe making it even more interesting by not having a fantasy football or a pick'em trophy for football, but getting like a bowling trophy or a dancing trophy, something that just sets us apart from the rest. Last year we had over 180 people competing. We're trying to get up to that number this year. And you mentioned how it's different this year. Last year we did those confidence points where ESPN gives you 10 games, usually the 10 best games of the weekend, and you have to pick who you think will win those games outright. You don't have to pick by the line that Vegas puts out there. You just have to pick who you think will win. And the way we used to play were with the confidence points. Whichever team you felt most confident about, you would give them 10 points. And whichever game you really felt like it was a flip of the coin, you would try to keep them down at one confidence point. So this year we tried to make it a little easier because I know a lot of people that are in this Pick'em Challenge don't study the game of college football as closely as some of us out there. And to make it a little easier, there are no confidence points this year. You just pick which team you think will win outright. You pick the 10 games a week. At the end of the year, whoever has picked the most correct games over the 13 weeks of college football, that's your winner. So we'll have a trophy for them. It is free to play, free to sign up, and you'll find that sign up at the top of the FM Talk 106.5 Facebook page, and that's FM Talk 106.5 there on Facebook. So looking forward to a great year of college football. As far as tonight's show, should be an awesome show because coming up in just about 5 or 6 minutes, we'll be joined by the new voice of the Auburn Tigers, Andy Burcham. Auburn made the announcement last week that Andy will be stepping into the role of his longtime friend, Rod Bramlett. It was so heartbreaking, the news that Rod and his wife Paula passed away there in Auburn in May of this year. Andy Burcham, just best friends with Rod Bramlett, so I know it's bittersweet for him to get the call up where he will be the voice of the Auburn Tigers, but he's been there at Auburn calling games in some form or fashion for over 30 years, man with all kinds of information. And we'll try to pry out of him tonight who he thinks will be the starting quarterback, because at my last check, Gus Malzahn has still not said between Joey Gatewood and Bo Nix who will be the starting quarterback. But coming up in our headlines in just a second, auburnundercover.com and various beat writers out there seem to have a pretty good idea of who's going to start for the Auburn Tigers.
Yeah, it's one of those things that Gus is holding it close to the vest, but we know one thing's for sure, there's going to be a freshman involved.
Mm-hmm.
And because of it, the leadership that they're going to look to, the Auburn Tigers, rest of the team, doesn't matter who trots out on the field to begin with. You want to find that person that the team is most comfortable with, and hopefully for that quarterback, they'll get a lot of confidence early. There'll be some handoffs that'll kind of get the game flowing and making some easy throws. And if they go down the field vertically, it'll be interesting to see what type of offense being led now by head coach Gus Malzahn the Auburn Tigers come out with and what the game plan is from a philosophy standpoint. So we'll look forward to the next segment talking to Andy about that.
Also tonight, after we talk with Andy Burcham, we're getting Danny Spivey on the line, old Chef Spivey from Southern Fairways Radio and Golf Magazine. You can hear him and Randy Bergen every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. right here on FM Talk 106.5, because it's a big week for PGA Tour golf. Also, you had a former Alabama Crimson Tide golfer winning the BMW Championship this past weekend, Justin Thomas, getting it done. Now he is the leader in the FedEx Cup standings, and they're doing the PGA Tour Championship a little bit differently this year, actually a lot bit differently this year than they have ever before. We'll get Danny to lay that out and also give us his take on his Alabama Crimson Tide football team going into this year. But first, Corey, the biggest news in college football today, that preseason Associated Press top 25 poll dropped at 11 a.m. our time today. And I don't think it's a shock, but the Clemson Tigers come in at number one in the preseason top 25. Actually, the first time ever that the Clemson Tigers are ranked number one in the preseason poll. They received 52 first-place votes. Of course, right behind them, second on the AP Top 25 list, you have the Alabama Crimson Tide. They received the final 10 first-place votes that Clemson was not able to gather. And first time in over 3 years that Alabama will not be ranked number one going into the season.
Yeah, nothing. I'm not surprised there. You know, Clemson being the defending national champion, I think they're well deserved at that number one spot. And Alabama's definitely right there in the top five, in my top five. And you look at Georgia, they definitely belong. Mm-hmm. Jalen Hurts, if he can stay healthy, leading Oklahoma in that situation. But I tell you, Alabama coming in second, they lost to Washington State, Dalton. What do I mean by that? How did they lose to Washington State? Well, on Tuesday night, Hard Knocks has the HBO special with the Oakland Raiders. Well, now they're going to go ahead and feature Washington State football instead of the Alabama Crimson Tide, Arizona State, or Penn State. Very interesting choice, but I think that goes to the dynamics of their head coach.
Yeah, Mike Leach is a fascinating guy, and he should be fun to watch on HBO because he's fun to watch whatever he does. However, whenever there's a camera around Mike Leach, you know there's going to be some fun times on that camera. But I guess I was kind of confused by the initial HBO press release because I thought they were going to try to feature all four of those teams in some style, but it looks like they're sticking with Washington State. As far as the other SEC teams in that top 25 poll, you have, you mentioned them, Georgia at number three, LSU coming in at number six. The team we'll get to see this Saturday, Florida, they come in at number eight in the preseason top 25. Texas A&M, Jimbo Fisher going into his second year as head coach of the Aggies. They're ranked 12th. And behind them, Auburn coming in at number 16 in the top 25 poll. We'll get Andy Burcham's thoughts on that in just a minute. Also, it looks like Auburn wraps it up for the SEC. So only those five teams in the top 25. I'm sure that we will see a whole lot more movement as the year goes around. Also, we're waiting for Gus Malzahn. We mentioned it earlier. We're waiting for him to come out and say who has officially won the quarterback battle. But from the looks of it and from beat reporters around the team that have been following the practices, sure looks like Bo Nix will be the first quarterback. And this is all speculation because until Gus Malzahn comes out and actually announces it, looks like Bo Nix could earn the start. I know he was second on the list coming into preseason practice after spring. Looked like Joey Gatewood was holding the job then. They're saying now Bo Nix is getting as many or more opportunities with that first-team offense, and that first-team offense just does better with him out there on the field. So it is expected right now, from all I can read, that Bo Nix will be the starting quarterback for the Auburn Tigers when they take on the Oregon Ducks.
Yeah, looking forward to, in this next segment, getting the voice of the Auburn Tigers' opinion about how this 2019 season will unfold.
Well, let's get to it. This is Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5 on this Monday night. Football's here, y'all. I'm excited. Hope you're excited, too. Talking with Andy Burcham, the voice of the Auburn Tigers, when we get back.
Breaking down the big games and talking about the big names. You're listening to Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5.
And CCR welcoming us into the second segment of Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5 on this Monday night. Dalton Orwig and Corey LeBounty with you. You can follow me on Twitter at Dalton Orwig. That's DaltonOrwig. Corey, where can they find you on Twitter?
At CaLabounty. That's CaLabounty on Twitter.
And it is just an absolute honor to be able to talk to this next guest. We talked to him on Mobile Mornings last week, right after it was announced that Andy Burcham, the new voice of the Auburn Tigers, and what a year to come into that role. Auburn with just, I've said it before, one of the most unbelievable schedules I've ever seen. Of course, a huge part of that has to do with them playing in the SEC West, but I still think expectations high for Gus Malzahn and Auburn this year. Andy, thank you so much for joining us on Sports Night.
My pleasure to be with you guys. I don't get tired of hearing that voice of the Auburn Tigers mentioned with my name. I don't think I'll ever get tired of that.
I can't even imagine what it must be like. It has to have been a whirlwind this last week. We talked a little bit about it last week, and our hearts were broken here at FM Talk 106.5. We were able to talk with Rod Bramlett quite a bit over the years. I know he was a very, very close friend of yours, so it had to be bittersweet to hear that you were elevated to that role. If you could, just take a second, tell us about your relationship with Rod and your favorite moment on a game that you either called with Rod or a game you heard Rod call.
Well, I have a couple. One, I think one of the early moments with Rod was 1997, the regional baseball tournament in Tallahassee, Florida, and the walk-off homer on a Saturday by David Ross to beat Florida State. Auburn had trailed that entire game, and to win that game in walk-off fashion in David Ross's hometown after he had taken over for the injured Casey Dunn, who had a broken hand after suffering a hit pitch earlier in that tournament. And then, of course, we all know what David has gone on, two World Series championships, and now on ESPN we see him, I guess he's at the Little League World Series now in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. That was the first really big call, I think, of Rod Bramlett's career. And we all know about the kick six and the miracle of Jordan Hare. But I think back to last year, guys, and not even the Kentucky win in overtime that sent Auburn to the Final Four. It was that win against Tennessee, second time against the Vols in a week, to win the SEC Tournament Championship in Nashville, Tennessee. And I know how much that game meant to Rod, to be part of that crew, for Auburn to win its first SEC Tournament Championship in over 30 years. And the man sitting to his right, I think it was right or left, not sure where Sonny was sitting, Sonny Smith was the coach of that last team to win it. And I know how much it meant to those two to be a part of that team, and you're a part of that team with Bruce Pearl, to be a part of that and win an SEC tournament championship when not a lot of people thought that Auburn could do that. Obviously, the Final Four was terrific last year for Bruce Pearl, but for me, that's two moments in many of Rod Bramblett's, 25, 27 years of calling Auburn athletics in the 16 years that he was in the role as the voice of the Auburn Tigers. Rod and I traveled together for 25 years for Auburn baseball, and we were roommates on the road together. So you're traveling around, and I think that's a lot of time spent in an SUV or a van with another, another individual. So you talk about many things, not just the sport or the series that's coming up, and you get to know that person. You eat a lot of good food together. That was obviously one of the if you see me, you would say that's obviously one of the important parts of our road trips together. But our friends were families as well. Rod and Paula and my wife Jan and I went to dinner quite a bit, and we talked about many things, including their children, Joshua and Shelby. And so we were very, very close to Rod, and obviously affected greatly by the shocking news of May 25th.
We had the opportunity to talk with Rod, I think about halfway. It might have been after they beat North Carolina during that run last year. And you could just hear the passion and the love that he had for those players. And it's a different component when you're with the team and you're traveling with the team week in and week out. It seems like you really start to love not just what these guys do on the field and on the court and on the diamond, but the type of people they are. And you kind of see them grow up. You mentioned it's a great time to be an Auburn Tiger fan right now with the run in basketball and the run through the College World Series last year. With football this year, it seems strange to me. There's some people that are cautiously optimistic and some people who just feel like Auburn won't have a good year this year, and I don't see it. I think they have a lot of talent. What's the feeling there on campus right now, less than 2 weeks from that opener against Oregon?
I was at two different events this past weekend with head coach Gus Malzahn. It was donors weekend, and so a lot of the donors were in town, and he spoke to a group Friday night. He spoke to a group Saturday night. We had another event with Coach Malzahn probably 2-3 weeks ago, a corporate event for the Auburn Sports Network. And he said this at every one of the events. We're one of the few teams in the SEC that has a chance. And he's not talking about the SEC West or the SEC Championship. He's talking about a national level. And I've heard him say that at every one of these events. And Gus Malzahn is not one of those guys that just spouts off about something that he doesn't believe in. His words are measured at times. And to hear him say that about his team, I believe he likes this team. Does it have some questions to be answered? No question. And you talked about it before the break. Who is the quarterback? Is it going to be Bo Nix, a true freshman, or is it going to be Joey Gatewood, who's a redshirt freshman? Regardless, it's going to be a freshman taking that first snap when Auburn plays Oregon on the 31st. I'm not as convinced as some of the writers are that decision has been made. Regardless, I think we're going to find out here in the next couple of days. It may very well be Bo. I'm not saying it is. But if it is Bo Nix, he is as equipped as any true freshman that's come to Auburn in many years to be that starting quarterback on opening day. You consider what he did at Pinson Valley with two straight state championships, the pedigree that he comes from. I mean, listen, he's been working for this day, if it is on the 31st against Oregon, since he was a little kid. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what he's been working to. It's what his dad did back in the mid-90s at Auburn, and he has more ability, and Patrick, I think, would be the first one to tell you that he has more ability athletically than his father did.
Andy, also, you had the opportunity, I don't know if this is a first for you, but to break down Auburn's practice at the end in the huddle. What did that mean to you, just being on the field with them, having an opportunity to be amongst this 2019-2020 Auburn Tiger team, and how did it make you feel being a part of that?
Guys, I didn't know that that was coming. We were at practice, and then we were going to have a crew meeting after practice just to talk about our duties and make plans for the coming season with Brad Law and Paul Ellen and Jason or Ronnie Brown and guys like that. So that's why we're there at practice. And then I got a call. I needed to come down to the field that Coach was going to introduce me to the team, which meant a great deal to me, for Coach Malzahn to introduce me to this team and his staff and his coaching staff. I had no idea what was coming next. He said, "We want you to break down the team." Well, what am I going to say? No.
That's beautiful.
No, I'm not going to say that. And so they told me what to say, and I belted it out and got out of there, man. I was thrilled to be able to do that. That was fun. That was a lot of fun, but totally unexpected to be able to break down the team on Saturday.
When you look at what it means to be an Auburn man or part of the Auburn family, you look at the passion that Sonny Smith had for men's basketball, the passion that Joe Champy had for women's basketball. You've had an opportunity to be part of the Auburn family for 31 years and also broadcast not only baseball but women's basketball as well. And I know you've seen the growth in women's basketball at Auburn and other sports also.
No question about it, guys. I've had the opportunity to learn the game of soccer. I didn't play soccer, but they asked me about 14 years ago if I'd like to be their first radio guy for soccer, and I said, "I don't know the game." They said, "We're not worried about that. You'll figure it out." And I was able to do the last 4 years, be the soccer voice and the face on SEC Network Plus. So I've had a great deal of experience here. But yeah, I mean, you look at, you know, you mentioned Sonny Smith. You mentioned Joe Champion. Let me add another name to that list in Pat Dye. And these are three guys that were not Auburn graduates, but came to Auburn, made a name for themselves as an Auburn head coach. They're all three in the Hall of Fame, and all three live in Auburn after their retirements or live around the Auburn area in Coach Dye's sake. So to me, that says a lot about what Auburn means to these individuals. That they would make their home here even after their coaching career is done. I've been here for 31 years, guys. I graduated from Indiana State University in Terre Haute, Indiana. I grew up in the Midwest. I moved here in 1988, thinking I would probably only be here for 2 years and then move back to the Midwest. Well, it's 31 years later, and I'm now the voice of the Auburn Tigers. So you couldn't have written this script like this. It, even under the tragic circumstances that I was named the voice of the Auburn Tigers. But, you know, Rod Bramblett dealt with the same thing after the untimely and unexpected death of Jim Fife.
Mm-hmm.
And you take that mantle and you take the legacy of a Rod Bramblett or Jim Fife or Paul Ellen or Gary Sanders or Buddy Rutledge, and you build upon that. You make those individuals proud of the work that you're doing. And I'm thrilled to be embraced by the Auburn family, and I'm thrilled to be a part of it, that's for certain.
We're talking with Andy Burcham, the voice of the Auburn Tigers. You can hear him right here on FM Talk 106.5 starting this Thursday night with Tiger Talk.
Yeah.
The first one of the season. I know you're pumped up about that. And then just under 2 weeks now from the season kickoff in Arlington against those Oregon Ducks. All those names you just mentioned, I know that Gus Malzahn wants to have his name. He wants to cement his name up there with some of those greats. He is on the hot seat this year. I think if he has an awful year, you know, the words could start going around that Auburn might be looking to move on. How important is this week one against Oregon? What do you think the keys to the game are for Auburn, and what would a win mean for this team in week one?
Well, I think a win gives you a great deal of confidence. You come back home against Tulane, and then you have Kent State. Before you go back on the road against a really good Texas A&M team. So it's the start of the season that you want before you get into SEC play at a really good Texas A&M team down in College Station, Texas. Gus Malzahn is aware of the pressure that he's under. But I'm telling you, guys, and I know it may sound a little cliche, there's no more pressure than the pressure that he puts on himself for this. And I think he's certainly aware of the situation, and he's embraced it, guys. I mean, he's looking forward to this season. It's a great defense that he has out there. Listen, if we had the likes of guys like, you know, Nick Coe and you know, Derek Brown and Marlon Davidson, that decides that, hey, listen, although we could have gone to the NFL draft, nope, we're coming back. We're playing another year for Auburn. That gives a head coach a little bit of comfort knowing that those guys are up front. This is going to be a really good defensive front for this Auburn team. So Coach Malzahn, I think, is certainly aware of the situation, and he's ready for it. He certainly has not backed down from it at all.
I can't wait. What an absolute killer of a matchup, week one, the Oregon Ducks versus the Auburn Tigers, and getting to hear Andy Burcham on the call for the first official time as the voice of the Auburn Tigers. We are looking forward to it, and do you think maybe Thursday night, maybe Gus is waiting until Thursday night in that first Tiger talk to unleash who will be the starting quarterback?
Well, we will certainly allow him, if he wants to break the story on Tiger Talk, we will give him all the time he wants to break that. I will tell you this, a little bit of preview for our Thursday night. It's going to be our Champions Edition of Tiger Talk as we look back on what was an outstanding year in Auburn athletics. Greg Williams, Auburn's national championship equestrian coach, Melissa Llewellyn, who took women's golf to the Final Four. We're efforting to get Bruce Pearl, of course, who took basketball to the Final Four. Butch Thompson is scheduled to be with us to talk about his team's World Series run. Gus Malzahn, Alan Green will all be part of it. We can't wait for it. It's going to be a great Tiger Talk to kick off our broadcast season Thursday night at 6, right here on your station.
Andy, thank you so much for taking some time tonight to talk with us on Sports Night. Good luck the rest of this year, and looking forward to talking to you again.
My pleasure, guys. War Eagle.
That's Andy Burcham, the voice of the Auburn Tigers. Catch him right here, FM Talk 106.5. Tiger Talk gets started this Thursday night at 6. Then you have kickoff against Oregon August 31st at 6:30 with that pregame show beginning at 3:30 right here on FM Talk 106.5. Coming back, we'll talk a little bit of golf and also a little bit of Alabama football with an Alabama grad and former Alabama golfer, Danny Spivey. He joins us next right here on Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5.
You're listening to FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night with Dalton Arwig and Corey LaBounty. Call the show or text your thoughts to 251-343-0106.
Thank you to Andy Burcham, the voice of the Auburn Tigers, joining us there on that last segment right here on Sports Night, FM Talk 106.5. And what a way for the Auburn Tigers to open the season against the ranked Oregon Ducks coming up August 31st. You can hear that game right here on FM Talk 106.5. Kickoff at 6:30, pregame starts at 3:30. And that'll be the start of a huge slate of games for Auburn. Coming up next, our guest. You might have heard him once or twice or a million times before right here on FM Talk 106.5. Sunday mornings at 11, Danny Spivey joins Randy Bergen on Southern Fairways Golf Radio. Danny, thank you so much for joining us on Sports Night tonight.
Well, Dalton and Corey, it's great to be on tonight. And I got to tell you one thing right off the bat. You know, on our golf show, our tagline is we talk golf first. But we'll talk some football. So it's nice you guys are talking a little golf now.
Yeah, a little bit. I love the game. I'm not nearly as good at it as you and Randy are. I mean, I've been fighting a slice for going on 30 years now, so I'm still trying to work that one out. But my first question for you, and it's some real hard-hitting news. I wanted to get to the real news first. I saw earlier today, looks like there's been another fox attack over there in Baldwin County, maybe on a golf course. Danny, if you happen in one of your next few rounds to be out there playing and a fox comes up to you, what's your method of attack? Or are you jumping in the cart and going back to the clubhouse? What are you doing if a fox jumps out there?
Well, it's a very good question, Dalton. It's a very good question. You have to be prepared at all times when you're out in the nature, especially on a golf course. And so what I found, and by no means am I trying to get PETA after me or anything.
No.
If I'm in a golf cart, I always have a driver in my hand, so to speak, because I found, especially in the passenger side, because I'm right-handed, that it's almost like a polo move, you know, to keep those varmints away.
Yeah. That's awesome. See, I wanted to go to the expert first, a guy who's played plenty of golf. You've never been attacked by a fox, though, right?
I've never been attacked by a fox. I have seen the foxes that you're speaking of, though, in years past, especially last year. I did see that. I did see the fox sighting, and I got to tell you, you just go the other direction if you can.
That's the safest thing you can do. Back in college, you played on the Alabama Crimson Tide golf team, and a guy who followed in your footsteps, Justin Thomas, I'll say surprisingly won the BMW Championship yesterday, his 10th win on the tour, his first W in over a year, though. Danny, where did this version of JT come from? He kind of seemed to hop out of nowhere after struggling for so much of the season.
Well, he did, and it's interesting. He had a little bit of an injury to his left wrist, and you'll see when he's playing His right wrist, that he wears some tape around that right wrist. He had, you know, a little procedure done. He kind of, you know, the hands are so important in the game of golf, but it's been a progression for him. And Justin has this unique ability, and we saw this in round three of the BMW Championship. He has this unique ability to just shoot extremely low. At the age of 26, he's already tied Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson's, and they're storied, you know, Hall of Fame careers for more rounds under 60 or 63, and has tied both of those gentlemen for rounds of 61 or better. And he's only 26 years old. So when someone like Justin Thomas gets it going, he's not afraid to keep putting birdies on the scoreboard.
A stat I did not know. Thank you for telling me that. One of those 61s came on Saturday in the third round, where he just shot an unbelievable 61 on Saturday. I mean, two eagles there on the back nine, including one of them a hole in. When you got a guy that's just that locked in, like we saw Justin Thomas on I think Thursday was his Thursday or Friday when he shot the 65, which tied the course record, and then going out and blowing that away on Saturday. How hard is it to keep that focus, not only from round to round? We saw him start to slip up a little bit Sunday, but from week to week, how is he going to carry that over into this East Lake Championship in Atlanta?
Well, what you know, the best thing that these guys are good at is they have short-term memory, Dalton, and you have to have that on when you play on the PGA Tour. And you know, you take a guy like Hideki Matsuyama, who shoots 63 in that second round, grabs lead, 73 the next day. Now he bounced back with a 63 on the final day and made a way into his top 30. But JT is one of those guys. Like I said, he's just a unique cat. And even firing, four under on Sunday to win by three when he had a six-shot lead going into the final round, sometimes it's hard to play with a six-shot lead. But he'll be ready at East Lake, and he certainly has the length and the short game. And just like all the best players in the world, they get the putter going. It gets very competitive.
Danny, $15 million prize that goes to the winner of the FedEx Cup playoffs. Talk to us about the prize money and how you've seen it increase here over the last couple of years.
Well, I'll tell you what, Corey. Last year, when Justin Rose won in the previous years, got a nice little $10 million annuity. All right, well, what the PGA Tour did this year, but to pump up, and this is part of the whole new schedule this year, starting with the Players' Championship and then four straight majors and ending in this tremendous event at the end of the year with the FedEx Cup playoff, they added another $25 million to the purse. So $60 million purse, $15 million to the winner, and then $5 million to the second-place person, including at the end of the regular season, whoever was at the top of the points list, which was Brooks Koepka, got a $2 million little incentive check, along with the other nine players, received some additional money. So, you know, if that doesn't want to make you practice, Corey, I don't know what will.
That's a nice little payday. And that's before Nike or TaylorMade or whoever the sponsors are get involved there and write a nice little bonus check to whoever. You mentioned Justin Rose winning the Tour Championship last year, and it was kind of awkward because the big story last year at East Lake was Tiger Woods coming in and winning his first tournament in over 5 years. But after his round, you had both him and Justin Rose with separate trophies on the 18th green, kind of giving separate interviews. And I know a lot of people were confused last year. So this year, the PGA changed it up a lot. And after these first two playoff tournaments, now we've got like a staggered leaderboard to begin. And with Justin Thomas taking the lead in the FedEx Cup with the win this weekend, he'll start this round on Thursday at 10 under par. Patrick Cantlay right behind him at 8 under. Then you go from there. Kepka's in third. He'll start at 7 under and so on until places 26 through 30 start at even par. What's your take on this? Is it too weird for the average fan, or do you think this is better for the game?
Well, I think, you know, you brought up a great point from last year. It was kind of awkward watching Tiger Woods win, you know, the Tour Championship and all the celebration there. But you know, as viewers and lovers of the game of golf watching this, we're trying to figure out, okay, well, they have projections, and this guy makes bogey on 14, Justin Rose makes birdie, so he moves up. It gets a little confusing. So what the PGA Tour, it's an experiment. I think it's going to be more user-friendly for the viewing audience. So, you know, because instead of reshuffling the points and all this going into the Tour Championship, they're going to just put a number. So when you tune in golf on Thursday midday, you're going to see the leaderboard, and it's going to say Justin Thomas, 10 under par, just like you said. And then those players that are down there 26 through 30, and it staggers down, that are even par. Basically, Justin Thomas has got a 10-shot lead over Lucas Glover, Charles Howell III, and Jason Kokrak.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, and Bryson DeChambeau as well. So it'll be very interesting to see how this progresses. So on Sunday, when you see that leaderboard on your television screen, that is the true leaderboard. Whoever wins with the lowest score on that day is the winner. There's no calculations. There's no what if this guy does this, what if this guy does that. You're going to know who's leading, and, you know, thusly, those who are playing in the final couple groups coming on Sunday, it'll be more like a traditional tournament.
It's really interesting, and I'm not sure if it'll work. I'm not sure the PGA Tour is sure that it'll work, but I'm all for only having one winner giving a post-tournament interview there at the 18th green and then picking up that $15 million check. Shouldn't be too shabby on Sunday. Two of the biggest names, and one that we talk about year in and year out, even when he wasn't on the course, Tiger Woods, and then you have Brooks Koepka, who is probably the hottest young player in the game right now. I want to talk about them just a minute. With Brooks, we could start with him because he had the FedEx Cup lead going into the BMW Championship. A lot of players, I mean, a lot of commentators out there say that Brooks is just about the Masters, that he doesn't care about these week-to-week, I guess you could say, normal tournaments that the PGA Tour has out there. What do you think about Koepka? Do you think that's how he feels, that he's just out there for those majors, or do you think it's just kind of luck has worked out that way where he's won majors over and over and doesn't win those normal day-to-day tournaments?
Well, you know, it's an interesting question, Dalton, because there's a lot of things that surround Brooks Koepka. He's got a very laid-back attitude. He's not afraid to speak his mind. He's very openly, and you know, his last discussions, you know, about slow play on the PGA Tour and mm-hmm. calling some names out and stuff like that. He's not afraid to talk. I think what he's going to learn is that when you start looking at records in the game of golf, very similar to baseball, very similar to other sports, football, when it comes to statistics, how you're viewed at the end of your career, you know, has to do a lot with majors, specifically in golf, but also how many tour wins you have and the length you've been able to endure that. And that's why Tiger Woods is so great and Jack Nicklaus is so great, because the length of their winning span between beginning and end. So, you know, I think Brooks is just, he gets fired up. He's like that big game quarterback who doesn't like to practice, you know, but you throw him in there when it counts.
Right.
Or, you know, he doesn't like to shoot free throws or practice, you know, Corey, before the game or anything like that, but you know you're going to throw the ball to him with 2 seconds left and you need a three.
Right.
You know, so he's just a big game player, and I think as he matures more and he gets more into the flow of things on the regular PGA Tour events, I think you'll see him play in 18, 20 to 22 events a year, and I'd like to see him win 4 or 5 times. He's certainly capable, but, you know, that's going to be up to him. If he can't get motivated playing for this kind of money this weekend, then because he doesn't get a green jacket, so to speak, then he needs to reevaluate some things.
It might give him a little incentive, too, to start 3 shots behind the leader. That'll be fun to watch. And you mentioned Tiger chasing Jack Nicklaus. I know when we all saw him win the Masters earlier this year, we thought maybe Tiger would be back for good, and by be back for good, compete week in and week out near the top of the leaderboard. The season just didn't go the way he planned. He pulled out from last week's tournament with that mild oblique strain and then played better in the BMW Championship, but still not enough to make that top 30 cut. What do you feel at this point Tiger's ceiling is right now?
Well, I think after watching his post-round interview from this weekend, you know, Tiger's tired. And let's face it, you know, 7 different surgeries, including back fusion surgery, is going to do a number on anybody. The fact that he was able to win the Masters this year, which I think is one of the more memorable victories in all of sports
mm-hmm.
for a long, long time, you know, I think he's just struggling with some parts of his game. I think a lot of it has to do with his short game, in which he's not sharp. He made a lot of mistakes. He talked about that. But, you know, he's just not as healthy, and he's never going to be that healthy, guys. And that's the point. He'll never go back to where he was. Nobody will. You know, even what Koepka's doing right now is not even in the same area code as what Tiger Woods was doing for the first 5-6 years of his career. But he's also got maybe some other things on his mind. You know, we got the President's Cup coming up in December. He's the team captain. He's got some great assistant captains in Steve Stricker and Freddie Couples and Zach Johnson. He's also 13th on the President's Cup list, so he's got to get with his captains and see if he's going to be a player captain, so to speak, because the final eight were picked yesterday, and then they have four captain's choices. So, you know, he's going to reevaluate. He's going to see how his body's doing. He's going to play limited events, and they're going to be a big event. He's going to play in Asia coming up here very shortly. And then also in December, he's going to be down in Australia, like I mentioned. But, you know, it's I think he's really evaluating his own game, and he's learning these last 3 years specifically, which culminated in his Masters victory and actually started last year, you know, a year this time when he won the FedEx, the Tour Championship tournament at Eastlake. He's learning to play golf, so to speak, a little different way. He can't hit it out there with Brooks Koepka, Dustin Johnson, Rory McIlroy, Justin Thomas. He doesn't have that length anymore, so he's trying to figure out what he's going to do, and he's going to rely on his short game. And let's face it, guys, he had a great year. Unbelievable year.
Yeah.
He moved from, you know, in the last 3 years, he's moved from 193rd in official world golf ranking. He's currently number seven. I mean, you know, there's been a lot of great things that Tiger Woods has done. But like all of us, the aches and pains and the age catches up.
It sure does. But one thing I'm happy for Tiger, it seems like with his family and off the course, that he's happier and mentally healthier than he's been in a very, very long time. So I'm glad to see that Tiger, the person, is doing better. And we'll wrap it up right here, Danny, with one final question for you. Your Alabama Crimson Tide, as they get ready to kick off against Duke here at the end of the month, what is your record prediction, and do you think that they bring that title back to T-Town at the end of the year?
Well, of course, you know what I'm going to say. I'm going to say absolutely. I think, you know, waste no loss, waste no failures, Nick Saban's motto this year, and that's directed directly at Tua Tagovailoa and the rest of the team. They lost a lot of players, but as we all know, they reload every year. They've got Sarkisian back. That's going to be an interesting dynamic. They got some new defensive line coaches as well. But if you look at their schedules, Alabama's best friend. You know, the first test I think they're going to even come close to facing is going to be on the 12th against A&M in College Station, and then we kind of cruise through Tennessee, Arkansas. Of course, LSU plays them very tough in T-Town, as usual, and then, of course, going to Starkville and then ending up in Auburn. So, you know, it's going to be anything could happen, but talent-wise, motivation-wise, I think you're going to see them in that at the end of the year there, Dalton.
Oh, man. It's going to be so much fun, and I'll be following along on Southern Fairways Radio, where, of course, we get a lot of golf talk, but also some football talk, like you just heard there from Danny Spivey. Danny, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
All right, gentlemen. Have a great evening.
Thanks, Danny.
That's Danny Spivey. You can hear him with Randy Bergen on Sunday mornings at 11 right here on FM Talk 106.5 Southern Fairways Golf Radio. We'll come back. I've got my predictions. I think Corey might have his predictions. We'll try to get to them fast. But our predictions for the 2019 college football season as we wrap up another edition of Sports Night right here on FM Talk 106.5.
Breaking down the big games and talking about the big names. You're listening to Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. Sports Night, FM Talk 106.5. Dalton Orwig and Corey LeBounty. Make sure you get signed up for the FM Talk 106.5 College Pick'em Challenge. It's free to play, free to enter. Just find the link, facebook.com/FMTalk1065, or text me, 251-343-0106, and I'll get that link to your phone. You can sign up there. Corey, it's that time of year. And oh, by the way, our show, Sports Night, turning 1 year old in 6 days. Our first broadcast last year, August 27th of 2018. So we're almost a year old, and I figured that we could start doing our college football predictions prior to the year. Of course, we have games kicking off Thursday night, and Florida, Oregon, they're playing on, those Thursday night games, those aren't until August 29th, I saw. So we're still going to have to wait about a week and a half for those. The season officially kicks off with Miami, Florida at 6 o'clock Saturday, and then you have Arizona, Hawaii after that. But I wanted to give my prediction so that it is on the record, and Corey, I know you feel the same way. You had the AP Top 25 poll released earlier today. Clemson 1, Alabama 2, Georgia 3, Oklahoma 4, Ohio State 5, LSU at number 6, Michigan 7, Florida 8, Notre Dame 9, and Texas 10. Now, it's easy prior to the year to make the easy predictions. I could just come up here and say Bama, Clemson, Ohio State, Oklahoma, but that probably wouldn't be any fun. I might be more right if I say that, but not as much fun. So I'm going to go outside the box here. All four of my playoff teams are currently in the top 10. I wouldn't have guessed that prior to today, but they are in the top 10. So let me go ahead and put it out there in the air. I do have the Clemson Tigers. I have them undefeated, maybe one loss if they lose to Texas A&M, but even if they lose to A&M, I have them moving into the college football playoff just because that ACC is so weak relative to how Clemson's team is looking. So I have Clemson making it in. My second team here is the first shocker. I've got the LSU Tigers representing the SEC in the college football playoff, not Alabama and not Georgia. I've got LSU beating Texas in Austin to begin the year. They beat Florida in Baton Rouge, Auburn in Baton Rouge, and I even think they beat Bama in Tuscaloosa if that Bama depth keeps taking hits like they are.
Dalton, you're drinking the purple Kool-Aid, brother. Stay off of it, man. Stay off the purple Kool-Aid. I just see Alabama being in that national semifinals. I'm going to give you my four. Clemson, mm-hmm. Alabama, Michigan, Oklahoma.
Clemson, Alabama, Michigan, Oklahoma. Okay, and I've got Clemson, LSU, Michigan, which is another team you have there. I have them finally beating Ohio State. But I have the Texas Longhorns representing the Big 12, and I think they don't just beat Oklahoma once. I think they beat Oklahoma twice, and they go into the football playoff with one loss on their record, that being against LSU. Hopefully we would get to see them play again for part two this year, but with Sam Ellinger coming on, I think that this year he takes that step into the Longhorns' lore that Vince Young currently occupies, Colt McCoy. I mean, you can go on and on about the great Texas players. I think Sam Ellinger gets there this year, and with Tom Herman going into his third year as the head coach, we're starting to see that that wasn't just a flash in the pan at Houston. He's a good recruiter and a good coach. So there's my four: Clemson, LSU, Michigan, and Texas. And yours again?
Clemson, Alabama, Michigan, Oklahoma.
And I'm not going out on the limb for a Heisman. I think Trevor Lawrence wins the Heisman and wins it pretty handily this year. Who do you have? Surprise me here.
You know, there's going to be no surprises there. I really like Jalen Hurts.
Hurts is surprising to me.
I think that he's going to be a dual threat for Oklahoma, and I think he's going to have an opportunity to shine in that Sooners program.
So three Heisman winners in a row for the Oklahoma Sooners.
Going to make history.
Unbelievable. I can't wait to get started this Saturday. Next time we're on the air, we will be talking about a game that has already happened when Florida takes on Miami this Saturday. So join us next Monday night, Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5. Dalton Orwig and Corey LeBounty. Coming up next, Sweet Home Canabama with Jennifer Boozer right here on FM Talk 106.5.